A reading from Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And thank you, Deanna. Thank you for reading the scripture, and truly welcome back. Welcome back, John. So here we are. Here we are on Labor Day weekend. It is really wonderful for me to be able to be in the place and to be worshiping here with you in the air-conditioned sanctuary, because we have no air conditioning in our home and we live in Pasadena, and it's really hot there today. It's really hot. But this Labor Day weekend, you know, it's always a transitional time. It's a time that marks the end of the vacation season, and it's a time that marks the beginning of the school year and the working world season, as we would call it, the season that starts ahead, even though it's still summer hot. And sure enough, we truly are in prayer for those affected by the hurricane and by the fires that are here in our own neighborhoods. But you know, there are probably some people even that are still going to be in the weeks ahead coming to performances at the Hollywood Bowl, and there will still be things here. I heard some people yesterday, it was so hot at the USC game, a lot of people left before halftime just to get cool. Well, what I want us to consider this morning is how important it is for us, no matter what the season, how important it is for us to simply take some time once in a while to disconnect. To disconnect for the sake of reconnection. We disconnect in order to be refreshed and to be renewed so that we can reconnect in some different ways. Now, it would be natural for me to have preached this sermon on Memorial Day weekend, because that's the beginning of summer, and that's when everybody automatically would begin to think about disconnecting and going away and taking some summertime to take a break. But alas, here we are, the end of summer. And what I want to say this morning is, it's not too late. It's not too late. And we can do this in small yet meaningful ways in our lives. We can still disconnect for reconnection. Now, three of the Gospels talk about Jesus going out after his baptism and having his own kind of time to disconnect before he begins his ministry. In Mark, it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In Matthew, it says the Spirit immediately drove Jesus into the wilderness. And in Luke, it says Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness. And we usually read that story, and we see in it a kind of a model for our own personal spiritual discipline. We are all to kind of take a time to get away, to go away by ourselves, to be alone with just us and God, to become refreshed. Today, I want us to think about it as a disconnecting from our everyday activities so that we really can simply focus on our relationship with God, to fast and to feast solely on God before reconnecting. And Jesus did this often in his teaching ministry. He would go away by himself to pray, and later he would return. Or he would go away with the disciples, and he would teach them, and then he would return. And in the scripture lesson that Deanna read for us this morning, he took Peter and James and John, the brother of James, and he went with them up on a high mountain. for an unbelievably amazing experience of transfiguration and transformation, where suddenly he was there with Moses and Elijah, and they could see this amazing thing happen. And then the others were gone, and it was just Jesus alone. And the disciples saw Jesus, and they wanted to stay and build a tent. But he said, no, we'll leave here and go back and reconnect and be in mission. They were so moved by what they saw there on the mountain. But Jesus would guide them to go back down from the mountain and to go into the world that was a world of suffering, but to go with their mission and to go accompanied by Jesus. They didn't go alone. They went back down accompanied by Jesus, God with us. Now I'm going to be confessional here for a moment, and I'm going to tell y'all about my first experience that was my experience, kind of like that time when Peter and James and John were up there on the mountain with Jesus. And I confess to you that when I start to talk like this, I'm talking in my first language. You see, I was born in Arkansas, and I grew up a girl in Jackson, Mississippi. So I'm going to tell you about my experience that was like Peter and James and John. I was 14 years old, and it was church summer camp, and we were at Camp Wesley Pines in Gallman, Mississippi. And sure enough, the last night at worship, and it was worship in a tabernacle. It was an outdoor tabernacle. It wasn't closed in. It was outdoor with all the woods and the lake and everything all around us. And the preacher that night, you know, invited us to come and kneel at the altar, just like we often do at our sanctuary on Communion Sunday. But here in the gym, we don't really have the altar. But I did. I went forward, and I had a card, and I'd signed the card. And I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ, and I pledged myself to a full-time church-related vocation. I knew God had called me to preach, but back in those days, there wasn't such a thing as girl preachers. I'd never seen one, and certainly there weren't any in Mississippi. But I was kneeling there at the altar, and I was praying. And then I went outside under the stars, and I wept. I wept, and in that sultry Mississippi night, and you know, it's been kind of sultry Mississippi weather around here the last 2 days. In that sultry Mississippi night, I knew I would go wherever it was that God would send me, and that I would do my best to bloom where I was planted. So sure enough, all these years later, here I am with you all. But somehow that night, I knew it was a pivotal moment in my life, and I had disconnected from the ordinary activities by being at camp, and then the future direction in life became clear in unexpected ways. My life was changed in a going away experience. And some of my richest memories are of going away times with church groups, trips to Israel, summer work projects, spiritual retreats. All of them are experiences that engage the same dynamic of Jesus' wilderness experience. Now, you may have been on a trip to the Haiti Rebuild, or you may have been at Strength for the Journey, or you may have been at some other kind of event. I know after Katrina, we did a lot of rebuild efforts, and now that they've had another hurricane, we're probably going to begin some rebuild efforts again. But the point is, when you go away with the group and you're in the experience, then you can truly become spiritually grounded and focused. But instead of going solo, and you can have renewal when you go solo, but sometimes instead of going solo, we go as community. We go apart corporately. And the micro community of the larger body of Christ is going away to an unfamiliar place. And the place itself is almost irrelevant. What is significant, I believe, and transforming sometimes, is that together we disconnect from the usual connections, from school and job and friends and home and hobbies or whatever form of network that our identity holds on to and purpose. All of that's left behind. All of our familiar activities are left behind. And we go away together for spiritual renewal. And what Jesus experienced when he would go away And what we experience when we go away together is this kind of emptying. We let go. I say we shed. We shed all of the things that we usually hold on to. I like to think of it like the beginning of the Beatitudes, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." When we recognize that poverty of spirit, that's the first and the most fundamental step in our journey towards spiritual holiness. It's a beginning when we disconnect. And if we imagine that we possess anything, then we can't really inherit what God wants to offer us. And so we empty the self that we might be filled up by God and God alone. And then slowly or suddenly we begin to reconnect in a new way, to be filled up with the presence of God, and the Holy Spirit is poured into the center of the community, and we are truly a gathered family of God. It's not just a personal experience, even though we experience it as individually renewing, but it's a corporate moment, a group moment, when we experience immediately and directly what it means for us to be the body of Christ, members one of another. Jesus modeled it for us in his relationship with the disciples when he would repeatedly take them away to be alone together with them. And in those times, they would connect deeply with the presence of God and with one another. And when we go away with young people to camp or on a mission trip, we make it possible to set aside our MP3s and our iPods and our iPads and our video games and our cell phones and all of the extracurricular attachments of our lives. And we create a space for God to form the foundation of our spiritual community. One of the most profound times for me was when I went with a group to Kalapapa on the island of Molokai. Let me see, has anybody ever been to Kalapapa? How about how about Molokai? You've been to, all right, I'll go bigger. How about Hawaii? Yeah, there we go. All right. Well, Kalapapa is this very special place off on the side in Molokai. And this one of our churches in Hawaii would go there every summer for a week. And it was an amazing time. And this community is very isolated. And we had to go there on a small 10-passenger airplane. It was a caravan, those of you that know airplanes. And this is the place where Father Damien lived with the lepers, where he lived with the people who had Hansen's disease. And there in that area, there's a small Catholic chapel, and there's a small Protestant chapel. And so we ministered in the Protestant chapel, and our young people would slept overnight in the fellowship hall, and the other leaders and myself slept in the parsonage there. And we would visit with the people, we would assist them, we would worship together with them, we would go out and do landscaping, we would go to the grave sites of their loved ones who had died before them and help put flowers on the grave sites and clean up the grave sites. And this one man who lived there that I became so close to was in his 80s, and he had lived there. He had been taken away from his family over on Oahu when he was younger than 10 years old. And he had been taken over to Kalapapa. And so as a child, he told us the story, as a child he would go down to the beach and he would sit there on the beach at Kalapapa. And at nighttime you can look across to Oahu and you can see the lights of Oahu. And he would sit there on the beach and he would cry and he would go, "Mama, Mama," because his mother was clear over on the other island. Getting to know him and others like him and their stories had a profound influence on me and the time of our group. You see, the point is, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have any contact with the outside world. We were just present with each other and with what we were trying to do there. And now we were trying to be there for others, but the fact is, we were transformed in that experience. We were disconnecting for reconnection, and I returned from there a deeper and broader commitment about how to live my life as a child of God. Now, after Jeff and I did our bicycle trip across country one summer, well, I knew I could no longer go back to business as usual that year. Let me tell you about that experience. Up, there it is. Okay, we're up there. Jeff and me on our tandem bicycle, we left Astoria, Oregon, just after the 4th of July, and we pedaled through Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and there we are. No, that's before the pass. Yeah, no, I think that's the one from Breckenridge where it was over 11,000 feet. Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, and Virginia, arriving at the Atlantic Ocean just before Labor Day. We had pedaled 4,059 miles in 58 days. And that was... That was the most amazing experience of our lives, truly, and we definitely could no longer go with business as usual. And I was surprised when I got to worship this morning. Michael is here with us. I'm just going to have to introduce you, Michael. Michael is from Germany. Stand up, Michael. And he's here on his bicycle, and he just finished pedaling from Vancouver to the border. Yeah. He went from the Vancouver, Canada, down to the Mexican border in Border Park. Some of you have been there. Well, after Jeff and I had this amazing trip across country, we could not do business as usual. And so the next summer, I committed myself in front of the whole annual conference to do 1,000 hours of direct hand-on service to people in need in the communities. Now, 1,000 hours in a year, that is a lot of hours. That's roughly 20 hours a week. And I was a full-time bishop in those days. I mean, where in the world was I going to find another 20 hours a week in addition to what I was already doing to do hands-on ministry with people in need? Whew. But I started out, I thought this is really crazy, but I started out, and when I visited with the congregations, I would participate with them in the ways that they serve their communities, like our Tuesday group that serves the homeless here. Or I would go to one of the churches and help preparing the meals, or leading Bible study in the jails. One of the churches would lead Bible study in the jail. Or I would stay overnight with the homeless families through the Interfaith Hospitality Network. That was really good. You know, I'd get 8 hours when I slept with the family overnight. Or I'd play with the kids in an after-school program. And I saw some experiences and some children that had experiences I couldn't even imagine in my life. But before long, people that were doing some of those things with me began to donate the hours they spent doing it with me to my hours. So it helped to build the hours. So by the time the year was over, I didn't have 1,000 hours. I had more than 6,000 hours that had been done. It was just truly amazing. But what I realized was every hour was precious. And with other people in the disconnecting, we were reconnecting with our core identity, with our self-awareness. We were being children of God. Knowing ourselves and our brothers and sisters, meeting them where they are, Paul says, let love be genuine. Love one another with mutual affection. And he reminds us we're children of God in relation to one another, nothing more, nothing less. So when Jesus went onto the mountain with Peter and James and John, and it makes a point that James is the brother of John, and so they're saying that Jesus went with family. Jesus went with his disciple family, and that's who we are here at church. We are disciple family, whether we're in Haiti or at camp, or at Spirit Tub, or at Hope Garden, or fixing up backpacks, or making special bears for people. Community. Community is the core of who we are. And from the very beginning, Christianity hasn't just been a message to be delivered or good news to be declared, but Christianity is about being community. It is about growing and being transformed and having fellowship. Being in koinonia, it's our community that defines us, that empowers us. Together, we can do what cannot be done apart. Together, we can do what needs to be done to transform the world. Together, we can be a cup overflowing in the world. We can stand in the tension between today and the future that God is yearning for. We can stand together to help transform the world and our church and our own lives. And as we come to the table today, we can do so knowing that This is a possibility for us this year, in any season, in the midst of all of the fullness that lies ahead. If we disconnect in Christian community, we can then reconnect in broader, deeper, global ways, and we can stand together as Christians, hand in hand, as community in the world. Denise will come and join me now. We will come to the table, and we will begin to prepare our hearts to receive the table that Jesus blessed for all of us. This place today, we do pray that God will keep us in the fellowship of grace through the remembrance of all of the kindness and the blessings that we have, and that God will embolden us to live as a special community, truly sometimes disconnected, but for reconnection, that indeed we might proclaim the kingdom of God, the love and family of God that goes hand in hand as we turn faith and hope and love into action. God be with you as you go. Amen.